وآل محمد. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. We are coming to the end of Surah Al-Qalam, verse number 38. فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ وَلَا تَكُنْ كَصَاحِبِ الْحُوتِ إِذْ نَادَى وَهُوَ مَكْذُومٌ. Verse number 48, sorry. So wait patiently for the judgment of your Lord, and do not be like the companion of the whale, Sahib al-Hud, that is Prophet Yunus, when he called while he was choked with anger. Now we discussed this, that why was he angry? He was angry with his people. He came out of the city, leaving them for the punishment of God, not waiting for the order of Allah, for the command of God to tell him leave. Like for example, when Prophet Lut left the people, there was a command, isn't it? The Jibreel told him, leave now. When Musa alayhi salam, for example, left Fir'aun, Allah commanded him, Asra bi'ibadi laylan, go out at night. Now, here, Dhannun did not wait for that command. He thought that the punishment is coming, and therefore he just left. And this was not good. This was not a sin, but for a prophet it was not good. It would bring the level of the prophet down, and actually it was almost going to fall from the prophethood because of what he did. Almost going to fall from prophethood, but of course he didn't reach that point. And the punishment of Allah came because of that, to bring him back, to restore him. You remember when we said, what is the philosophy of punishment about Ashabul Jannah, the people of that garden? The punishment came so that they realized they made a mistake. So they were restored, they were retrieved. Here this punishment came to Yunus so that he's retrieved to his previous station of prophethood that he was going to lose because of his impatience. Now here, patience to the Prophet, fasbir, wait, have patience, do not be like Sahib al-Hud, like Yunus, means that he didn't have patience. He didn't have enough patience. He left his people before I tell him to leave them. So that was the reason. Now, لَوْلَا أَن تَدَارَكَهُ نِعْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ لَنُبِذَ بِالْعَرَاءِ وَهُوَ مَذْمُومٌ. Had it not been for a blessing that came to his rescue from the Lord, he would surely have been cast on a bare shore while he were blameworthy. لَوْلَا أَن تَدَارَكَهُ نِعْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ. Some blessing came from the Lord, and although he was cast in a desert, in a barren land, however, he was not blameworthy anymore. Now, I tell you how this works. Now, you know, he escaped, he went out of his city, he boarded on a ship, and he ended up in the belly of the whale. The story is long, of course. Anyhow, you know what happens if a whale swallows a person. He wouldn't immediately die, of course. However, would become severely injured, severely sick, and after a while would die. But this did not happen to him because the whale just vomited him out. So the way it worked, that he was swallowed by the whale and he was vomited out by the whale relatively soon after. Now, there when he was inside the stomach of the whale, he said, this tasbih, which is very famous. وَذَنُّونَ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضَبًا فَذَنَّ أَلَّا نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ فَنَادَ فِي الظُّلُمَاتِ. In that darkness he called, أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. I was among the ظالمين. Why he was among the ظالمين? Did he commit a sin? No. Did Shaitan deceive him? No. He was impatient to his people. And this, of course, submission, humiliation, would make him to say, "Inni kuntu min al-zalimin." I was from the wrongdoers, from the zalimin. Now, the Quran doesn't say that because he said this in the stomach of the whale, we saved him. It says, "Lawla an kana min al-musabbihin." If he was not from the musabbihin, right from the beginning, because musabbih is not someone who just says tasbih once or twice or for one day. Whatever time he was in the stomach of the whale, he says, La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. That doesn't make him from musabbihin. Means that because during his life, as a matter of course, he was always musabbih. And we didn't want to, of course, let him go waste. We wanted to save him. If he was not from the musabbihin, لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ, he would have remained there in the belly of the whale until the day when people are resurrected. Means he would have stayed there, the whale would have died, and it would have been buried there forever. He wouldn't have come out. But because he was from musabbihin, we didn't want this destiny for him. The veil vomited him out. Now, this tells us one very interesting thing, and that is many calamities, many catastrophes may be diverted from us if we have a good life of tasbih, if we have a good life of closeness to God, of worship. We don't realize how many calamities are just diverted from us, just bounces away from us because of that attitude of closeness to God. How many pitfalls we just pass without falling into it, just because we have been from musabbihin. So if we are from musabbihin to our own level, then Allah will save us in difficult situations and at difficult, on difficult occasions. And this is one of them. لولا أنه كان من المسبحين للبث في بطنه إلى يوم يبعثون. The other thing we learn from this is that God is harsh, very harsh, on those who are close. He doesn't let them to make mistakes. If they make mistakes, then God, of course, would somehow restore them by coming back to them with punishment or something to shock them, to let them know that they made a mistake, that they have to come back. Now, for those who are farther away, he's not that harsh. He treats us in a way that we are not somehow wasted, that a severe punishment like what happened to Yunus would completely leave us without faith, isn't it? If severe punishments come to us, we just lose faith. We just go away from God. If nothing comes, again, we lose faith because we think that, okay, we can indulge ourselves and we can do whatever. So Allah keeps a balance. He wants to somehow moves us or drive us in a way that we do not fall from either side. We are moving on a very narrow band, so to speak, on a very narrow rope in our life, Siratul Mustaqim, which is the Sirat in Akhirah, is just the manifestation. This is the manifestation of that. We are moving on that. If he pushes us from this side, we fall. Pushes us from that side, we fall. So he keeps the balance with us. When we move higher in spirituality, then of course he gives us more and he demands more. It is a sort of cherishing, training. Al-Ubudiyya Jawharatun Kunhuha Ar-Rububiyya. You know, worship is a gem, is a jewel. But you know, the depth of it, the reality of it is that you are not worshipping God. God is taking you through certain training so that you go close to Him. You live in His neighborhood. So we think that we are worshipping Him. Yes, of course, we are worshipping Him. But the truth of it, the other side of it, is that He is cherishing us. He is taking us. And this is what has happened to Yunus. Now, two things Allah mentions about Yunus. First of all, لَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ. If he was not from Musabbihin, he would have remained in the stomach of that whale forever. And the whale would have died, and he would have died with him, with it, and that's all. The second thing is mentioned here. لَوْلَا أَن تَدَارَكَهُ نِعْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّهِ. Had not a blessing from the Lord came to his rescue. لَنُبِذَ بِالْعَرَاءِ وَهُوَ مَذْمُومٌ. He would have been cast bare on shore, and he would have been blameless. But his tasbih saved him from the stomach of the whale. And God saved him from becoming blameworthy when he was saved. He was cast out on the shore, and a repentance, this ni'mah is repentance. Allah accepted his repentance from what he did, leaving the people, accepted his repentance, and then therefore he was not mazmum anymore, he was not blameworthy. He was retrieved, he was brought back. So, two things saved him. The first thing was that during his life he was good. Like for example, Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, Hur in Karbala. Because during his life he was good, he was saved. And he repented. But others, because during their lives they were not good, they were not saved. They just fought to the last blood of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Now, he was saved because he was from Musabbihin. And we brought him back to his position, and we did not blame him further because of a blessing from us, a ni'mah that we retrieved him with. Had it not been for a ni'mah, and this is the real meaning of a ni'mah. The real meaning of a ni'mah is when God takes you to himself, accepts your repentance, make you from tawwabin, make you from mutatahirin. This is the real ni'mah. If it was not for this ni'mah, then he would have been cast out on that barren shore, which nothing was there to cater for him, and in addition to that, he was blameworthy. وَهُوَ مَذْمُومٌ. However, first of all, he didn't let him die of hunger there, as we have in Surah Safat, فَأَنْبَتْنَا عَلَيْهِ شَجَرَةً مِنْ يَقْطِينٍ. He was so ill, so severely injured, that he couldn't even move his limbs to just go and find food. What he did, he was there, injured, sick. We made a pumpkin bush to grow on in his vicinity, actually shading him. And just while he was lying, he could eat from it. Now, of course, this should have been very quite quick, because if the pumpkin seed wants to grow naturally, it would have taken several months or at least several weeks. But it came just like the palm tree of Maryam alayha salam, that wahuzzi ilayka bijat an-nakh. It grew on him, it had the shade on him, and also he could eat from it. And we nourished him in this way. فَأَنْبَتْنَا عَلَيْهِ شَجَرَةً مِنْ يَقْتِينٍ. And this was, of course, saving him, saving his life. The other thing is that فَاجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَجَعَلَهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ, which we read here, that لَوْلَا أَنْ تَدَارَكَهُ نِعْمَةٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِ لَنُبِذَ بِالْعَرَاءِ وَهُوَ مَذْمُومٌ فَاجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَجَعَلَهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. His Lord chose him and made him from صالحين. Righteous is the translation of صالحين, but this is not very accurate here. Of course, translation of صالحين is righteous, but this is not very accurate here. I mentioned why. Now, every prophet is مجتبى, means selected. Allah would select certain people to make them prophets. And Yunus was a prophet before that. So he had already been chosen. فَاجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ here means he fell from that position of the chosen ones. So we chose him again. Again we did that favor to him. We chose him in اجتبا. Now what's the meaning of اجتبا? We have two terms. One is اجتبا. The other is اصطفاء. Both of them are used for prophets and imams. They're saints. They are selection of people from among the human race. إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى آدَمَ وَنُوحًا وَآلَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَآلَ عِمْرَانَ عَلَى الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah did istifa. It means choose. But I tell you what's the difference between istifa and ishtiba. Allah did istifa to Adam and Nuh and Ali Ibrahim and Ali Imran. Over all the human beings of their times. Now, اجتباء means to select or to collect things. Things which are the fruits which are ripe. It's you collect them, or the collection of zakat is jibayat or zakat. You go and find and then choose and take. We have in one hadith, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا ابْتَلَاهُ. If Allah loves someone, would try him. Ibtala means, ibtala, of course, is to put in hardship. It means he puts him through a process of tests and trial to upgrade him, to bring him up. This is the meaning of it. Don't say that, oh God, if I love you, then you are going to beat me with calamities and difficulties. No, that's not the case. That's if you are loved by God, then God says, oh, let me see. This man, this woman, look, all his life, she has been good, he has been good. Coming through, worshipping, helping others, good heart, humble person. Okay, let me see if I can bring him up. Let me put them through some tests. And this is the ibtila. Something happens. Your patience is tested. I mean, when you want to buy an appliance or any equipment for somebody, they have to go through several tests before they offer it to you, isn't it? So your patience is tested, your humility is tested, your love for God is tested, your selfishness and lack of selfishness is tested. Let me test her. And these tests, of course, you have to be put through certain contexts, isn't it? It's hard sometimes, it's very painful, it's all true. Hard, painful, let me test. This person I love because of what they are doing in their lives. What they do to others, what their attitude towards me, their attitude towards the world, let me now test. Now, if we fail the test, what happens? Allah said, okay, stay there. Not yet. Maybe I test you again sometime in future. And if he doesn't test us again, it doesn't mean that our goodness would go waste. No. We will be rewarded for our goodness later. But that is our limit. That is our limit. We cannot go higher. Now, if Allah tests us إذا أحب الله عبدا ابتلى فإن صبر. If that person can pass all those quality assurances, quality tests, have patience, اجتبا, God chooses them. Now choose them for what? Choose them to guide other people, choose them to become prophets, choose them to become imams, choose them for many different reasons, many different purposes. Now, but there are certain prophets who this ijtiba is not enough for them. This ijtiba is for certain prophets. Some should pass even higher to be given, for example, the position of an ulul azm prophet. فَإِنْ صَبَرَ اجْتَبَى وَإِنْ رَضِيَ اصْطَفَى. If they are pleased, not patient, if they are pleased with what I do, that means they are totally submitted. This is the position of Ibrahim alayhi salam. وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ. When Allah tried Ibrahim with several tests. Kalimat, here it means Allah is leaving it quite vague for us. We don't know how. One of them we know that said, Ibrahim, go and chop your son's head off, isn't it? One of them was this one. Maybe this was not the most difficult one. وَإِذْ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنَّ قَالَ إِنِّي جَائِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Now I'm happy. You are the one whom I want people to follow. I'm happy with you. But this position is not given to anyone, of course. I mean, no matter how good a person I may be, Allah would say, I'm happy you be an imam for people because I may make mistakes in future. I may be driven towards shaitan in future. So God doesn't make me that. But if the submission is tested to the deepest level, this is istifa. So, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ. In Surah Maryam, when Allah names certain prophets, and Maryam as well, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ. These are the ones upon whom I bestowed my favor, from the prophets, من النبيين من ذرية آدم. Look, they were human beings like you. They were from ذرية, the progeny of Adam. They were children of Adam, like you. وممن هدينا واجتبينا. And these were among those whom we guided and we selected, we chose. So, for someone to be selected as a prophet, certainly these tests, either before or after. When I say after, because, for example, regarding Prophet Isa alayhi salam or Yahya, they were very young. However, Allah knows that they could endure tests, as Isa was tested alayhi salam. We have in Bible as well, we have in our traditions as well. Severely, to that even the strongest mountains would have been shaken by those trials that Esau went through. So it is there. It may, for some reason, at the beginning, at birth, he said, قَالَ إِنِّي عَبْدُ اللَّهِ الْكِتَابِ. But he has to go through these. Now, so, alaykum salam. Yunus alayhi salam was already chosen because he was a prophet. Now, here he says again, فَجْتَبَاهُ, means he fell. He failed. But, first of all, because he was from Musabbihin all his life, we saved him from death. And because I wanted to rescue him from falling down, فَجْتَبَاهُ, I chose him again. Chose him again because he was good. He went through that very difficult test, wasn't it? Very difficult test it was. God punished him rather than punishing those sinners, isn't it? He was all the time calling people to God. He was all the time good. And those people who were evil, God saved them and punished him. This was very severe test. You lose faith, isn't it? If you go through such a thing, you lose faith. But he was, what he said, La ilaha illallah, subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalim. I was wrong. I did wrong. So that test he passed very nicely. Now Allah again chose him. فَاجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَجَعَلَهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. He made him of the... Now, salihin here we have to translate as qualified. Because any righteous person, of course, is salih, but salih has different levels and grades. Now, there is a minimum requirement for someone to be a prophet. And that minimum requirement is called salah, for prophethood. فَجَعَلَهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ means that I gave him that qualification to become a prophet again. I gave him the qualification to become prophet again. Now, these, of course, you remember the verse in Surah An-Nisa, very famous one? وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Whoever obeys God and the prophets, they will be with in paradise. Not from them, we will be with them. We'll be with them. مَنْ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ, upon whom I have bestowed my favor. مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ, who are these that I have favored them? Prophets, والصديقين, this is the position of our imams, والشهداء, and witnesses, والصالحين. These four, نبيين, صديقين, then the lower grade شهداء, then the lower is صالحين. These are the مقربون. Okay, these are those who are close to God. Now, the prophets are always chosen from these categories. Of course, نبيين are already chosen. A Siddiq or a Shaheed or a Saleh could be chosen as a prophet. None else from human race could be chosen because they are not qualified. So فَجْعَلَهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ means we made him qualified again to become a prophet. And then of course in other surah we have وَأَرْسَلْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ مَئَةَ أَلْفٍ أَوْ يَزِيدُونَ. We sent him to another city who were more than 100,000 people, and they all believed in him. So he was chosen as a prophet twice. Once, when he was calling his own people and then left them. The second time, Allah said, because he passed the test again, I chose him again, and I made him from among the salihin, the qualified. وَأَرْسَلْنَاهُ إِلَىٰ مَعَةٍ أَلْفٍ أَوْ يَزِيدُونَ فَآمَنُوا فَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَاهِينَ. They believed in him and we gave them prosperity for a while until they came to the end of their life. So, the very interesting thing here is that Yunus did not commit any sin. It was all natural for him to leave the people because they were sinners. Because Allah has said the punishment will come. And he said the punishment will come. But just he was a bit impatient. He didn't wait for the command of God to come, to leave. And who knows what happens next moment, isn't it? He didn't know that these people are going to be accepted by God. Their repentance is going to be accepted. He didn't think so. So he didn't commit any sin, but it did not befit a prophet to do that. You see, what befits prophets is different from what befits us. It's not the sin that they commit. It is something which should be suitable to their position. فَاجْتَبَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَجَعَلَهُ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Okay. Why this is mentioned? You see, at the beginning, we heard that they called him Majnun. And then what type of people they were? فَلَا تُطِعْ كُلَّ حَلَّافٍ مَهِينٍ. always swearing, very mean people, Hamas and Masha and Benamim, tailbearers, always insulting other people, and all those qualities which mentioned. And then, now Allah says, despite all this, I know all this. I know what they tell you. I know who they are. But fasbir bihukmi rabbik. Have patience. Do not leave. Do not. You have no choice. Now you see, prophethood is something that if is given to someone, there is no choice to resign. No one can resign from prophethood. No choice. Have patience. And if the prophet didn't have that patience, of course he would have been someone like Yunus. So la takun kasahibul hud. You shouldn't be like him. It's very interesting. A prophet is said not to be like another prophet, isn't it? It is. These are tilka rusul fadhalna ba'dahum ala ba'd. These messengers we have given merits to some over others. Now the verse is ending with one very interesting thing. وَإِن يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ لَمَّا سَمِعُوا الذِّكْرَ وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونٌ وَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. So the verse, the surah started with مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ. By the blessing of your Lord, you are not crazy, you are not mad bringing this message. And it ends with this, that yes, of course, the disbelievers would say that you are crazy. Of course, because they don't understand anything about God, anything about spirituality, anything about the hereafter. If someone is good in that sense, if someone tries to dedicate his life or her life to God, they say, well, he or she is crazy. They are crazy. So وَإِنْ يَكَادُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ. يُزْلِقُونَكَ إِزْلَاقُ is somehow to hit someone, to fall. Zalaq means to be very slippery and to fall on a slippery ground. So لَيُزْلِقُونَكَ means they want to hit you with their eyes. It is as if indeed the faithless almost devour you with their eyes, strike you with their eyes when they hear the dhikr, the Quran. Of course, dhikr is the Quran, lamma samu dhikr, and they say wa yaquluna innahu la majnun. Now what is the relation between the two? There are several possibilities or several meanings for this verse. La yuzlaqunaka bi absarihim, they strike you with their eyes. One is that they look at you with such anger as they want to strike you with their eyes. This is, of course, a metaphorical thing, isn't it? As they want to strike you with their eyes. If you look at someone with huge anger and rage, is as you are eating them with your eyes, for example, or striking them. So when they hear the Quran, they are almost striking you with their eyes. This is one meaning. The other meaning is the very famous meaning of having an evil eye on you. They have an evil eye on you. Now, why they should have an evil eye? One possibility is that they sometimes people have some people have very strong evil eye. Some people have it. It's not in their control. It's something which comes from it's a relationship between, telepathic relationship between souls. Okay. And maybe they went and found those people, and these people could be recognized. I mean, even in our family, we can say who has a strong evil eye, who doesn't have. It's experience. Through experience, they had found, and they wanted these people to come and cast an evil eye on the Prophet, so that, because they couldn't, they were not able to defeat him in any way, they said, okay, maybe we kill him in that way, by evil eye. Maybe we can in that way. This is another meaning, another possibility. The other possibility is that because the evil eye is when you are amazed by something, when you like something very much, you look at it so eagerly, and that may bring some harm. That's the meaning of evil eye, isn't it? You like something very much, or you are wondered by something very much. When you look at it, your look would bring harm. It's not the eye, it's just a sort of a spiritual connection, the connection between soul and that thing or that person. Now, these kuffar, they were in a paradox, the one meaning of the verses. They were in such a paradox that when they listen to this Quran, Lamma sama'u al-dhikr, when they listen to the Quran, they are so mesmerized by it that they say, wow, how this is given to this man? What a wonderful recitation, what a wonderful thing. And this actually created that evil eye between you. Despite that, they denied it. Despite being so much wondered by it, so much amazed by it, they denied it. And what they say? They say he's bad. They know that you are not bad. They are mesmerized and they are so much amazed by what you recite for them. However, يَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ إِنَّهُ وَيَقُولُونَ إِنَّهُ لَمَجْنُونَ. They say that he's crazy. They know that you are not crazy. They are so much amazed by this recitation, but still they say, so much amazed that almost they are striking you with their evil eye. وَمَا هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Of course, this is just a reminder. There's nothing else. Although it's very wonderful, it's very wondrous, it's very amazing. However, it's just a reminder for human beings. Now, what is this evil eye? Is this true or not? Do we have such a thing at all? Apparently, the experience tells us that yes, there is a sort of relationship, a sort of, I don't want to use a spiritual, because a spiritual means when you become so somehow elated spiritually, a connection between spirits and souls, a connection between the soul of a person and something which is so wonderful for them. It is something which can establish certain harm. If, for example, the person is so eager, so much impressed and depressed by not having it, for example. Impressed and depressed by not having it, this effect would come. Because the effect of our soul is not limited to our body. It sometimes can go over, can spill over. You see, if you are in company of a very joyous and happy person, you become happy. If you are in company of a very moody and sad person, you become sad. This is because the energy, or the energy of the soul, that's not the physical energy, the energy of the soul spills over. And this is probably one of those things. And that's why in our traditions we have that this is something true. It may happen. It most of the time, of course, it happens without intention. Most of the time it happens when parents look at their children. They are not depressed by it, but they're very impressed. And there would be an effect there. That's why we have in hadith from the Prophet, peace be on him, he said, "Al-aynu tudkhilu ar-rajula al-qabr wal-jamala al-qadr." What does that mean? Evil eye can make a person enter grave, and a camel enter the pot. The camel, well, what a nice camel, and that camel is slaughtered next day and eaten. So, al. Aynu tudkhilu ar-rajula al-qabr means that sometimes it happens. It is sometimes so strong that it may happen like that. Wal jamal al-qadr. And also Imam Ali has mentioned al-aynu haqq wal-ruqa haqq. Ayn, that's evil eye, is haqq. It's true. It may happen. And ruqa or ruqya, the protection from it, which is by some dua and some, that is haqq as well. That can protect. That's why we had this ruqyas written for some of our imams as well, because of this evil eye. Now, does the verse refer to that or not? As I said, there are several possibilities in the verse. We don't know whether the verse is referring to that evil eye or it's referring to something else. It's metaphorical, that they are so angry from you as they are striking you with your eyes, or other meanings that I mentioned. So we come to the end of Surah Al-Qalam. Inshallah, next week we start Surah Al-Haqqah. وصلى الله على محمد وعلى الطاهرين yes.
لطيف خبير سميع بصير جلي راقب مجيب غفور شكور قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد يا مسلمين صلوا عليه صلي على محمد صلوا عليه